There's some weapons that I believe the enemy is using that the Lord will really help us understand that if you live by one of these weapons, you let it overtake you, then, man, you won't see the freedom that God has for you. You won't see that true victory. And God wants you to have victory. So the enemy is causing a few things, and I've got about three of them I want to deliver to you really fast, that the enemy is using in our lives to, again, keep us from healing, keep us from the promised land, as we said earlier. And one of them is a major, major one that I'll probably camp on for just a second, called distraction. Say that with me. Distraction. Say it one more time all together. Ready? Distraction. Because he's using distraction to not, I mean, we're not free when we're distracted in lots of areas of our life. And I just begin to write down a lot of things, because a distraction is a thing that prevents us or someone from giving full attention to something else. I mean, when we're needing to show attention to our marriage, then a lot of times we're distracted so that we can't show attention to our marriage. Or we're distracted in this area so that we don't get our attention on the area that we really need to be, you know, having attention of. Because distraction is a very bad thing. And here's the scripture that a lot of people, and I've said it many times here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that kind of the enemy uses a lot to get us distracted and get our eyes off of you know, whatever we need to show attention to. And he'll try to distract us. And it's this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Are y'all there? Say amen. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, I want to stop for just a second, because listen to it in the Amplified version of the Bible. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For no temptation, no trial, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you. Then it goes on here. That is not common to man. That is no temptation. So it just keeps trying to help us understand this. There's no temptation. There is no trial that has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience as such a man can bear. But God is faithful. Say that. But God's faithful. In other words, there's no temptation. There's no trial that the enemy can bring against you and I as a believer that will be able to overtake us so that we say and speak out of our mouth, but that there's no hope. No, there's always hope in Christ Jesus. They got the old saying, what is it? God won't put more on you than you can handle. Remember that? Which is not biblical. You cannot find that in the Bible, but this is where they get it. But if you say it that way, then obviously God gets the blame for whatever bad thing you're going through. When in all reality, that is a distraction. We are distracted constantly from understanding the last part. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. In other words, there's nothing bad enough that can take you down to where You can't call on the name of the Lord. You can't use the Word of God. We're constantly distracted from knowing that Jesus is the only true hope. He's the only one that can get us out and through a trial or tribulation. But that trial and tribulation does not have to overpower you where you give up on life. So we've got to constantly stay away from distractions. Distractions like the phone. Say amen to that. Jamie bet me. And she might win. I'm not saying she's going to win or not win. But she bet me. And by the way, betting is a sin. So, that my screen time was more than hers. And for some reason, you see it on Sundays. We're not going to see mine today. Because I call that a distraction. Anyway. But the phone can be a distraction. The TV. The spirit of anger can be a distraction. I'm just mad at everything. That spirit of offense can be a distraction. But God wants us to have self-discipline because really, in order to not be distracted, it's going to take self-discipline to stay hooked on whatever we need to keep our attention on. Well, our attention needs to be on Jesus. You know, a lot of people have come to me and said, man, I would love to be like the Apostle Paul. That is the apostle has started the church at Ephesus. He started the church at the Corinthians, Philippi, the Ephesians. And I mean, he started a lot of them. That's why he's called an apostle, because an apostle starts a lot of things. And I always want to correct him, because you don't want to be like the Apostle Paul. You want to be like Jesus. Say amen louder. You want to be like Jesus. The Bible tells us all through the Word of God in the epistles that we are to imitate Jesus, not the Apostle Paul. Thank God for him. We can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul, and I honor him in that regard. But I want to be like Jesus. Because I just think that there's a lot of distractions that are happening today. There's a lot of weapons that the enemy is using. That's why this is trying to teach us that God is faithful. He will not suffer us to be tempted above what you are able. In other words, he's saying, look, I've given you the Word of God. I've given you keys to the kingdom. I've given you the light of the Lord Jesus that snuffs out darkness. Why don't you use my weapons and not fall to that one major weapon called distraction? Man, we are distracted. You turn on the news and you're distracted. You are seeing what's going on in Israel. You're seeing what's going on in Ukraine. You're seeing all the what was right back when being wrong, and what was wrong back when being right. We are so confused today because of the things we're distracted with. And God's saying, listen, there's no distraction in my word. The word of God is yes and amen. If we would just be willing to live by the word of God. Because I'm telling you, distractions are out there, y'all. I wrote down eight things that will help us overcome distractions. You ready? And I'm going to say them fast. Eight things that will help us overcome distractions. Number one, identify what distracts you. Because all the distractions are a tad bit different. We've got to identify what is distracting me. I was distracted yesterday as I dropped off my wife at the grocery store in Burnet. I was distracted with Dairy Queen's Blizzard. Anyway, I've got to identify what is distracting me. Number two, you've got to eliminate what's distracting you. Number one, we identified what distracts us. A rhesus blizzard with extra rhesus. Say amen to that, y'all. I mean, it was so good, though. And then we need to eliminate whatever's distracting us. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Number three, change. There may be some change that's needed. Change your environment, possibly. Change your environment. That might help you overcome a distraction. It's kind of like having an alcohol problem. It's probably not good to go to the bar. Well, it's not good to go to the bar anyway. But it's not good to go to a bar if you've got a distracted spirit of alcohol when there's a lot of alcohol there. Say amen to that. Number four, have a daily task list. That's what I wrote down. Why don't you just make a list that will help you stay focused, in other words. Number five, watch your thoughts. Remember, y'all, where does the enemy distract us the most? In our mind. He'll put a bad thought. Our job is not to meditate on that thought, right? What are we supposed to do? Take the thought captive. When you take it captive, the only way to take a thought captive is to make sure that that thought is not ruling your mind. You've got to make yourself think of something else, right? I've used a lot of examples in that area. But we've got to watch our thought life. So again, how to overcome distractions. Number one, identify what's distracting us. Number two, eliminate it. Eliminate it. Number three, change your environment. We got to change sometimes. And that's the hardest thing a lot of times, is to change who we're hanging out with. But if there's a distraction, we have to do that. And sometimes that's hard. And I'm not saying not be their friend anymore. I'm just saying don't yoke yourself with them, possibly. Maybe change the environment of where you're going, what you're doing, etc. Have a daily task sheet. It's number four. Watch your thoughts. Number five. Look at number six. Look at your goals daily. You know, every successful person has goals. And we want to put them in front of them where we look at them daily. There's something about that, y'all. It'll help us stay hooked on what God has for us. Look at your goals daily, not just once a week, daily. Number seven, beware. Remember in Ephesians, beware of the devil's the whole thing. Beware of the enemy, the devil. The Bible says that in the book of Ephesians, things like be angry but sin not. You know, it's okay to be angry and not sin. I mean, there's a lot of times that I'm ticked off at the devil because he's destroying the marriages that I'm having to deal with. But man, all it is distraction. But we've got to be aware that the devil is roaming, seeking whom he may devour. When you're hooked with the Word of God, he's not destroying you. He's not destroying you. No. He's scared of you. He's scared of you. Why is he scared of you? Because you have Jesus on the inside of you. I won't step on my phone, you know. Look, we got to beware of the devil. Here's the last one. Man, it's a powerful one. How to overcome distractions. Refocus. Man, there's a lot of times we need to refocus. Take a deep breath. Do you realize that people are distracted even from coming to church anymore? Oh, man, you have little ones. There's lots of distractions that keep us from church. When I was growing up, that old saying that we were druggies. My family was druggies. Y'all probably heard this. We were drugged to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, we were at church all the time because Dad was the song leader, or he was pastoring at a church, or we were drugged to the rodeos to do a church service. Well, there's a time that we've got to refocus, y'all. I told a couple just the other day about their marriage. I said, man, you've got to start focusing on all the good and not all the bad that's happened. Because that bad can be the one that you meditate on. But what does Joshua say? No, meditate on the word of God day and night. Amen. Here's the second thing that the weapons of the enemy is using, is a word called deception. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, because deception is something that, man, is prevalent today. There is lots of deception, right? I mean, preachers are afraid to say anything about marriage between a man naturally born and a woman naturally born. We're afraid of getting our 501c3 nonprofit status taken away just by saying, I believe in a man and a woman marrying, not two men and not two women. I mean, you want to talk about make a few people mad, even in the church. Yeah, but I got a family member that we love, and they're homosexual. Yeah, but that doesn't make it right. We have to be bold enough not to condemn, not to cause guilt to come to people, because we don't serve a God of guilt or condemnation. We're to love them, but we still have to stand up for what the truth of the Word of God is. And the truth of the Word of God is that God created a man and a woman to marry, to multiply and replenish the earth. And a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, cannot do that. Women, you need us men for something. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Deception. Ooh, Jesus. Deception. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only thing that's going to renew your mind is not watching more news. The only thing that's going to renew your mind is the Word of God. Amen. When we operate in love, y'all, and we start seeing the deception of the world creeping into the church, we still got to operate with love. But with love, man, I mean, we spent lots of time on love, right? I mean, we've spent several services at this church this year on God's kind of love. I told every one of these couples I'm dealing with in their marriage it's under attack, as I said, I want you to get into the Word of God and start finding every scripture about love, agape love, you see. Not Eros love, human love. I mean God's kind of love. Because if you start finding out about how God's love will transform you, renewing your mind, see? We got to renew our mind in that area. It'll change. You'll never be in offense, ever. I don't care how bad someone talks about you. When you have God's kind of love, you'll just be like, I've got way more confidence in the Word of God than allowing someone that's trying to get me down, get me distracted, get me deceived. I'm not allowing them to get me down. I'm going to stay in love. And I'm going to love them no matter what. You see, that's getting over deception. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I mean, you realize you have a spirit of discernment, don't you? You should be able to discern what's right and what is wrong. And then we got to live by that and not be afraid to conform to the world's way of thinking. Because I'm telling you, wow, our government is trying to get us to conform to things that are not biblical. That's why the church is being persecuted right now more than any other time. And we then conform to the world so that we don't have to be persecuted. No. Don't you dare be that person. Because there's going to be a day when you stand before the Lord God Almighty, and you're going to stand all by yourself. And you don't want to be standing in front of God with all that goofiness that the world brought to our minds. No, you want to stand before God and Him only declare, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? Listen, you don't want to be deceived in any way. Have a backbone, y'all. And that's what we need the church to start preaching more. Having a backbone. Not that we're against that spirit of darkness as a person. We're against the spirit of darkness as the spirit of the enemy, the devil that's trying to destroy, that's trying to distract, that's trying to deceive. Deception. That's the tool that the enemy is using today, y'all. We've got to stand against it. Here's the last thing, and I'll close. The third thing that is a weapon that the enemy is trying to use against us believers today is distraught. Distraught. Distraught is deeply upset and agitated. And if the enemy can keep us distraught, he can get us into a fear-based thinking. Listen to me. God did not give you a spirit of fear. Not as a believer. The enemy gave you a spirit of fear if you have it. But God did not give you a spirit of fear. Rather, He gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Say that with me. God gave me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Say that again, y'all, because there's something about speaking the Word of God. God gave me a spirit of power, say it, love, and a sound mind. A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. If you understand that He didn't give you the spirit of fear, then when fear comes, you declare, no, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I will not be distraught. I will not be deceived. I will not be distracted. Those are weapons of the enemy, and I'm telling you, if you overcome them by the Word of God, man, you're going to have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And soundness of mind is what we really need today. We need some soundness. Matter of fact, we need to vote in some soundness of mind in our government. Anyway. Weapons. Don't let the enemy use these weapons against you any longer. You're victorious. Now you're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to work on changing your surroundings possibly. But you can do it. You can do it. And I know sometimes it gets lonely. I'll never forget this. When me and Trey Johnson, a boy, he's preached here before, but we started in the ministry together, and we started in college rodeo. And in the Southwest region, the Southwest region of rodeo is El Paso all the way down to Uvalde, all the way over to Stephenville, all the way, not in the panhandle, but it kind of cuts across from Stephenville straight back to Odessa, Midland, you know, in that area. All that area, you know, Alpine, is the Southwest region. It's huge. It's probably the largest region in the country, the United States. That's how many kids. Matter of fact, they say that Alpine College Rodeo, Sol Ross, the college there, is the largest college rodeo in the nation. And I'm like, how? I mean, it's out there in the middle of nowhere, you know. And when we started in the ministry, we just wanted to set an example of not being like the world. Well, that's a little bit hard when you're dealing with college kids because they want to go to the dance. They want to go to the parties. I mean, they're in college, man. we're away from mom and dad sowing some oats. Well, me and Trey come, and we don't want to be like that. I'm telling you, the first college rodeo or two, we were alone. I would get my guitar out, and we would get behind our camper that we, Glenn Smith, our spiritual dad, gave us a camper. And we put it on the back of the truck and had air conditioner and a couple of beds, and that's all it had, no bathroom or anything. That's where we stayed for the college rodeo. And I'd get my guitar out. Everybody else would go to the dance and the party, and just would be me and Trey. And it was lonely. I mean, there was lots of temptation. Well, why don't we just go and gather where they're at? But you know what? We decided to not be distracted. We wanted to be right there, and we just waited. I'm telling you, by the next couple of college rodeos, here they came. When they saw my guitar, there was another kid brought his guitar. And then all of a sudden, by the middle of that semester of college rodeos, we couldn't count all the kids that decided not to go and be distracted, but came right there, and we would just sing and preach and talk about Jesus. You see, there's something about being conformed to the kingdom of God. And yeah, it took a little bit, because we were distracted to want to go and get where the kids were, because there was loneliness. But you know what? We stayed hooked. I can't tell you how many people got saved those first few years of college rodeo. We would have on a Saturday, y'all, after a college rodeo slack, they call it, after all those kids would rope and ride and run barrels, and we would have over 200 kids come to Cowboy Church service at 2 o'clock on a Saturday. It was such a revival that's why I've been at the College National Finals for over 20 years with a tent, where kids can get distracted and go to the bar after the performance, or they can come to the tent where we're preaching the Word of God. I'm telling you, you ask these guys, they come to the tent where we had to get a bigger tent. See, there's something about staying hooked with the Word of God, because it is our only hope. So don't be deceived by that enemy with distractions, deception, and then being distraught and agitated and angry about everything. No, get freedom in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Oh, sir, we need you more now than ever before. But there's hope in you. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that we receive this message, that we're not going to be distracted any longer. We're not going to be deceived. We know, we discern right from wrong, and it's found in the Word of God. And we're not going to be distraught, not another day in our life. We're not going to stay agitated, angry, upset over every little thing that might come against us. No, we're going to do what James chapter 1 says, to count it all joy. We're going to remain in joy that's everlasting, sir. So, Father, thank you for this message, and we thank you, Lord, we're going to live in it. One confession at a time, one scripture at a time. We may have to change a few things, but sir, I say we're willing to change, because we want to live in the true promised land. We want to live in the perfect will of you. So Father, help us in Jesus' mighty name. Before you raise your head and open your eyes, if you don't mind, with every head bowed and every eye closed, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven when you leave this earth? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? I told the Lord years ago, and most of you know this, that I would never leave a service, a Bible study, anything without giving someone an opportunity to receive the true hope. Is he the Lord of your life? Have you invited him into your life to be your Lord and Savior? That's what Romans 10, verse 9 says. If you'll confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Being saved is you're saved from that place called hell. that was not designed for you, was not designed for me. It was designed for Satan and his demons that thought they were God and got kicked out of heaven. Remember? But, man, Adam and Eve sinned. They sinned in the garden, and a nature of sin came on the earth. But, praise God, God was ready for it, so He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus. And He died a cruel death, as most of you know, so that we could have life and more abundant life here on this earth, and then go to a place called heaven because He's the Lord of our life when we leave this earth. We can go to that place called heaven. So the question is He the Lord of your life? Have you asked Him to be your Savior? If you haven't, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you today. Maybe you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I want you to right now by praying a prayer with me. But most of the Christians in here, you'll know that I want you to pray this prayer with me so that you'll learn it, but you'll also be praying it with someone beside you or around you that may be praying and asking Jesus to come into their life for the first time. If that's you and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth, people are going to pray this prayer with you, but you've got to pray it yourself. You got to pray it out loud. You're confessing the Lord Jesus. So let's do it that way. I'm going to pray the prayer. I want you to repeat after me, but when we pray it, and we're just going to pray Romans 10:9, we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. And I want you to do it out loud where your ears can hear it. You ready? And believers, would you please pray this prayer with me? Out of your mouth, in order to receive Jesus as Lord, pray this prayer. Ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe You, Jesus, have been raised from the dead. And I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. Thank You, Jesus, for being my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, all I ask you to do with no one looking around is not be ashamed to tell someone that you gave your heart to Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, you gave your heart to Jesus, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. You're acknowledging Jesus before men. Jesus says, if you'll do that, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. In other words, don't be ashamed that Jesus became your Lord today. So at the count of three, if that's you, you get that hand up boldly and say, hey, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I gave my heart to Jesus this morning for the first time. Get that hand up when I say three. Ready? One, two, three, go. All right, everybody look at me. I don't believe there was one hand that was raised. That means we're all going to heaven saved. Family members, amen. That's a good thing.